that. And I think it's vitally important that people understand that the unemployment figures are much higher than we're being told. Here in California, they'll admit it's over 10.2%. But if you talk to John Williams, Bob Chapman, some of the others, it would appear the real unemployment, and we're talking about the people who just sort of given up looking for jobs, are those who suddenly have had to take jobs at a very small part of what they were getting before, working half-time. The real unemployment at the present time is about 17%. Even the government will admit that. So we are having a real problem, and certainly the month before it was about 600,000 jobs we lost, and the month before that 575,000 jobs. You're talking over 1.5 million people lost their jobs here just during the last 3 months. And it's only going to get worse, because everything that the Obama administration is doing is designed not to help. In fact, the most recent thing, the effort by Sheila Bair to put on one large assessment on all of our banks, is simply going to dry up all the money that they have instead of borrowing money from the Treasury, so the FDIC will be able to continue to insure depositors. They want the banks to pay for it, but if the banks pay for it, the small banks won't have anything to loan, and the big banks are in on the scam. And they're intentionally blocking efforts to loan to many of the industries out there. And many of our major industries can't borrow money because the big banks won't lend it to them. And this is what has happened time and time again over the last 200 years. That's how you crush your opponents and reward your friends. Well, with us on the line is Catherine Albrecht, who has written extensively about the RFID identifiers, and now she has her own program on the Genesis Communication Network, certainly one of my favorite guests. Catherine, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Dr. Stan. It's terrific to be on your show tonight.
Well, what are we going to talk about? What are the things that are on your heart?
Boy, there are so many things going on. I got to tell you, you know, the Bible talks about how things will start speeding up for a couple of reasons, but one of them is because the devil realizes he's getting on the run. He doesn't have much time left. I'll tell you, when you look around at the number of stories related to the things that I cover, which have to do with sort of Big Brother, privacy invading, database creation, and all of the surveillance technologies and the like, I can honestly say that within the last month, there have been more stories that have crossed my desk than I can fit into my daily two-hour radio show. And I would say in the last month, there have been more stories than in the last year combined. In terms of this stuff, everywhere I look, it's like playing whack-a-mole. These pieces keep popping up one after another, and today I literally had 20 different news stories, all of which were vying equally for sort of worst story of the day to include in my newscast, and I couldn't get them all in. I mean, it is that bad.
Well, let's hope that you can bring out a lot of them here on my program, and we'll be back in just a moment with Catherine Albrecht talking about what's really going on, but today, as far as our privacy, as far as our freedom. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Albrecht, and Catherine has her own radio program. She has a PhD from Harvard, so she's right on top of the things that are going on there. And basically, she writes extensively on this progressive loss of privacy, this effort to have government surveillance of every aspect of our lives. And, of course, all you have to do is go into the bank and you see a video camera. Well, it's there to catch the bad guys when they want to come in, you know, to rob the bank. That's why it's there. And then we have to have the video cameras in our schools and the video cameras in the halls of our schools and the video cameras in the hospitals. And everybody in the hospital has to wear a little identification card. You'll see that. We didn't do that when I practiced medicine, but, oh, it's different now. We're going to be a lot safer if everybody has an ID card, either around their neck. And then we've got to have the video cameras at the intersections. We've got to have them on the highways. We've got to have video cameras just every place. That's to protect us from the bad guys. That's the reason they're there. Or is it? Is there another agenda? Well, Catherine's on the front line of this, what's going on. She tells us that she does a two-hour radio program every day, and today she had so many issues come up, she couldn't get them all in her 2 hours. So I'm going to let Catherine tell you about what's really going on as far as increased government surveillance of every aspect of our lives. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what's the real agenda? Are we being protected from Osama bin Laden, who's hiding over in a cave in Pakistan, or are they using the threat of Osama bin Laden to take away our freedom in preparation for something? Go right ahead, Catherine.
Well, I'll tell you, it goes beyond just the government, too. What we're really seeing is the rise of this government-corporate partnerships where they're working hand-in-hand together to amass information about us. And the reason that privacy and databases are so crucial and so important that people need to be paying attention to this is that information is power. It truly is. If you want to control a society, then you have to know who your friends are, who your enemies are. You have to know who may be gathering in order to plot your overthrow. Certainly Stalin was a master at that in the Soviet Union, had KGB surveillance thugs and what later turned into the KGB, had the ability to open people's mail and listen to their phone conversations and was constantly looking for any evidence that someone may be rising up in opposition to that totalitarian, oppressive police state that they were all living in. And, of course, once you get an oppressive police state, then it becomes extremely hard to break out of that. The only reason that people in the past have been able to break out of oppressive police states
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Catherine was saying that information is power. And those who would want to maintain power have to have information. They have to have information on any potential opposition, political opposition, personal opposition, efforts by people to break out from the control of the tyrant. And certainly, are we seeing an ever-increasing amount of information collection? Are we seeing more and more people who are government informants and are well-rewarded for, well, of course, a lot of the poor Muslims in this country, not very smart about Muslims, but they, you know, the guy would come in, become their very closest friend, and then say, hey, let's go blow up the Sears building, let's get those wicked Americans who, and give all the reasons why to do it, and the guy says, well, yeah, maybe we ought to look into it. Why, of course, he's immediately under arrest, because it's a government agent. But they do that in England, too. The Irish Republican Army was a front for the British military, and they were planting bombs, you know, and killing British people, and the people behind it were British agents. But you go ahead, Catherine, pick up the story.
Well, you know, one of the oldest tricks, if you are an oppressive, evil, and corrupt police state-type dictator, and we certainly saw plenty of those in the 20th century, the way you justify coming in and taking away people's rights and spying on them and controlling them and demanding that they get government permission to so much as sneeze, the way you justify that always historically is you find an enemy. And then you whip people up into a frenzy believing that this external enemy, which may or may not even exist, is the true threat, which deflects attention from them. So it gets everybody worrying about that guy over there, that person who has a different skin color, a different accent, a different whatever it might be. They've used all sorts of strategies. And in fact, in Rwanda, these people weren't even physically different. It was just people with a different ethnic identity on their identification card. So, you know, you can always find something to scare people about. Once you've got them scared and focused on that guy over there, then you can justify creating all sorts of oppressive, top-down ways of monitoring and controlling people, and then you tell the general public, who this is really aimed at, that what you're actually doing is protecting them rather than oppressing them. And I think that portion of the cycle is where we find ourselves today in the United States. We are in a place where we are being kept at a constant state of heightened alert, over an enemy that, to the extent that enemy even exists, that enemy is being fomented and whipped up by our policies, which, you know, people can take exception with me on that one if they want, but I think it's definitely clear that this whole war on terror has probably done more to cause people in other countries to hate the United States than we ever had before the war on terror began. So you've got a situation where enemies, real or manufactured, become blown up to such an enormous proportion that people clamor for those government chains. Please issue us a national ID card. Please make really tight border controls so that no one can get in, but of course we won't be able to get out either. Please monitor every phone call. Please keep an eye on all the bank accounts. And so you get to this point where people don't even realize that they're clamoring for these things because they've been carefully manipulated into doing so. And that is exactly playing into the hands of the corrupt government officials who do not want to be overthrown. So what you'll find, you found this in Nazi Germany, you certainly found this in Russia, in the Soviet Union, you found this in Cambodia under Pol Pot, one of the deadliest regimes of the 20th century, who killed about a fifth of his own population in just under a decade. You find this in really any deadly and murderous regime where you've got a power-hungry cabal that's out of control. Is you will find this pattern, and it's a very consistent pattern, and in every single case there is one thing that all of these societies have in common, and that is that the people, the population, the people who should be sovereign over their own governments, give up power to the government, give all of their power to the government. And when you find that pattern emerging in any country, it is time to become very afraid. I cannot name a single case in the 20th century where people gave up enormous amounts of power to their government in the name of national security or in the name of fighting some external enemy, where it did not result in oppression over the very people themselves. So in that sense, or in that vein, let me point to some of the stories that were crossing my desk today that were really shocking me. One of them, there is a comment period for NACE, the National Animal Identification System. That is the plan to number every farm animal in this country. That comment period is ending on March 16th, so we've got just 5 more days to file our comments on to the USDA on NACE. Well, if and when that plan goes forward, it will mean that there will be no more living off the grid. Because if you decide to get away from it all, you decide the cities aren't safe anymore, or you don't want to be monitored and surveilled by cameras and all the rest, and you just want to go live a natural life in the country, then the NACE program would say that you can't. This is a program that will require every farm animal, every pig, every cow, every chicken, every duck, every horse, to be registered in a federal database, and you have to report within 24 hours when they die, when they're born, when you take them on or off your property. You have to allow the government to take a satellite photograph of your home, as if you could stop them. You have to tell them where the animals sleep, where their feed is stored, all of this information. And you have to give each animal a unique ID number, presumably with a microchip implant or an ear tag, an RFID ear tag, and they'll put it all in a database. So that's one story. Another story, Google. I'll tell you, Google has really gotten my attention in the last 6 months or so. Google has really, they want to take over the world. I've been doing some reading into Google, and I would encourage other people to take a look, that Google is not only getting on board with our medical records, they're getting on board with pictures of our homes. They're getting on board with satellite imagery of our backyards and drive-by vans taking photographs of our front yards. They are cataloging every book ever written, making copies of it and putting them all online, presumably with the intent of doing away with regular books that we would hold, and in so doing away with the notion of anonymous reading, because if you're going to log on to Google to read a book, then they're going to know what you read. They are cataloging DNA. They actually have a chromosome DNA project where they want to catalog the DNA, presumably, of everybody in the country eventually. They have... probably most disturbingly, if you actually read the words of the founders of Google and of their CEOs, they talk about their search engine ultimately becoming like the mind of God. Now, when you listen to some of these statements, they talk about their search engine ultimately becoming an artificial intelligence that would span the globe, that would actually be capable of mind melding with our own brains, getting closer to you than your own brain, is how one of them put it. Their CEO actually said that they're taking steps towards this unification, the unification being the collection of all known information on the globe into a single database. And I received a very disturbing piece of mail the other day. It came from one of my radio listeners in Massachusetts who had gotten his monthly HMO statement, just a little insert in the statement, had the Google logo on it. you know, the little, you know how they put those in your bills? They're kind of glossy, thin, white paper, and they'll have some information on it or a little announcement, little short things, kind of the size of a check. So this thing had Google on it, and he took a second look. He's like, why is Google advertising through my HMO? Well, when he looked at it, it said, congratulations, your electronic medical record consisting of all known information that we have on you, including all your doctor's visits, all your medical conditions, all of your prescription drug fulfillment, everything that you've done, has all been now uploaded into a new electronic medical record. And you can log on to Google. You can literally log on to Google with this username and password and access your records, which we have given to Google.
And, of course, the most amazing thing is, Catherine, when I heard the President of the United States saying, we want to protect your privacy and we're going to have these electronic records, how can you protect the privacy, you know, of your medical record privacy when you're going to put it on the Internet? And so they say one thing, they do exactly the opposite, and the average American could never believe that they would be lying to us.
Well, and, you know, Google just had a big security incident just a couple days ago, too, where they allowed access to a fraction of a percent of online documents that they were managing. A fraction of a percent for Google, which has literally hundreds of millions of documents, translates into millions of records were accidentally disclosed. These are documents and contracts and scripts and, you know, very private things that people were working on. Through a little server glitch, a little computer glitch, they made all of that information accessible to people who should not have had access to it. And, you know, that's just one example. We know this kind of stuff happens all the time. So if all of your medical records are being held there, if your very DNA is being cataloged and stored there, if the appliances you use in your home are being monitored there, because that's the other thing Google's getting in on now, they're doing something called the smart grid. And this is this notion that I've talked about in the past. I was on Coast to Coast AM telling 12 million people about it just a couple weeks ago. This is the replacement of the one-way electricity that now flows into our homes with a two-way electrical grid and a data stream that would actually flow data and information about us out of our homes back to utilities and government officials. So they're already working on preparing these smart appliances, quote-unquote, that are capable of taking your personal information. You know, if you use the toaster, if you use the dryer, if you turn on the lights in four or five rooms of your house, all of that information will be logged and monitored remotely through a two-way electrical grid. I know it sounds crazy, but they figure they've already got the wiring into all of our homes, and they may as well go ahead and make it interactive. Now, who wants to be on board to monitor all of that? Google. They're the company that wants to manage it all. So, you know, you see this convergence, and I don't think people have fully grasped the enormity of what it means in the information era to be the company that has all of the information. You know, if this were the government, we would be up in arms.
Well, I think that, of course, that Google is actually keeping a record of every site we ever go to. Now, I would never go to a pornography site, but if you are going to pornography sites, they know that. There's a permanent record of it. But, you know, I go to a lot of patriotic websites. Well, that means I probably am a right-wing extremist potential terrorist. And I go to Christian websites. Oh, that's even worse, because there's intense hatred of Christianity by certain people at the highest levels of our government. That is why they take God out of our schools. That is why they took prayer out of our schools, nativity scenes out and celebrations. It's an intense hatred of Christianity. That explains what's going on. Well, Catherine, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, the whole issue of Google taking over, I think people need to really put that in context. And this is a crucially important issue. Google knows more about you and me than probably anybody living other than perhaps our spouse or someone who shares our home with us. Google knows when you have a stomach ache because you probably log on and look up stomach remedies. Google knows when you think you might get food poisoning. Google knows when you have a rash. Google knows when you go to your doctor, because nowadays we don't even pull out the phone book to find a phone number. We log on to Google and we type in the doctor's name and then we grab the phone number from there. Or if you're going to make a reservation at a restaurant, Google knows where you eat because you log on to Google and you look up the phone number of the restaurant. So when you put all this together, they have amassed these enormous dossiers of information about individual Americans. And when they take all of that information, and by the way, today, was it yesterday or today, they just announced that now they're going to be partnering up with all of these websites to collect additional information about you when you go to the websites and putting that into your big Google dossier. So, you know, you think about Stalin. Back in the Soviet Union, Stalin, who was responsible for the death of literally 60 million of his fellow countrymen and women, that man knew nothing even close to how much information Google has on us. Nothing even close. Could not have gotten that information even if he had an army of people to accumulate it, because much of what we do on Google we do in the privacy of our own homes, and that you just couldn't afford to have people watching over your shoulder in your own home 24/7. If Google, and I want people to just momentarily do this thought experiment, I want you to imagine that Google, instead of being this colorful, friendly logo that we all know and love and think is so wonderful, I want you now to imagine that instead of a private company run by billionaires, that Google instead were run by the United Nations, or run by, name your oppressive government agency that concerns you, run by the Federal Reserve, run by the Centers for Disease Control, run by President Obama and his key staffers. If you look at it that way, and that is the way that we need to start looking at this company, because ultimately I believe it's going to be nationalized. I think Google is going to pose such a threat to national security that it will be nationalized down the road. So if you look at it that way and start seeing it not as a friendly private company, but as the enormous beast that it is becoming, then I think people will think twice about logging on and giving even more information up into this dossier about them. So one way to think about this, if information is power, we are living in the information age, and information truly is the commerce of the 21st century. You know, in the 19th century, it was, you know, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. In the 20th century, it was all this technology, you know, that we've developed automobiles and trucks and such, and ultimately the Internet. Well, in the 21st century, it's going to be these databases of information. They're incredibly powerful. And, in fact, now international law enforcement is using Google to do drug busts, because Google's satellites are more powerful and more ubiquitous than even the governments. There was a big story not long ago about a big drug bust over in Europe, and these, I don't think it was Interpol, but it was one of these international drug busting law enforcement coalitions, that rather than use Interpol or using their own government databases, they logged on to Google and used Google satellites and Google Earth images in order to locate and pinpoint these individuals. So Google.
Hold that thought, Catherine. We're going to have to bring our stations back on board right here at Radio Liberty, and we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Catherine Albrecht, and we're talking really about the fact that Google is keeping records on everything we do. And certainly, they have an amazing ability to do that. In fact, she was just pointing out that Interpol, I mean, they have all their, of course, the facilities of the whole, you know, international police force behind them. But when they wanted to track down some people, where did they go? They went on to Google, because their satellites, their means of gathering information are certainly even more effective than that of Interpol. So here we're seeing an organization that has powerful international connections, and it's gathering information on you every time you go to a site there on Google. There's a record kept. They're tracking all of your activities, what you buy, whether you have a cold, whether you have a stomach ache, which doctor you go to. If you put the information up there, they now have your medical records, or at least many medical records are being put onto Google. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful how government protects our privacy? You pick up the story there, Catherine.
Well, that is really what's happening, and I don't think people understand the enormous scope of this company. I don't think they have any clue. I want you to bear in mind that Sergey Brin and is it Paul Allen, I think, is their other co-founder. They are billionaires. Not millionaires, they're billionaires. And why are they billionaires? Because every single time you log on to Google and give them one more piece of information into this enormous money-swirling powerhouse, which is really what it is. It is a black hole of power. You are contributing to that every single time you use that search engine. Google recently signed a deal with NASA. I'm not kidding you. They signed a deal with NASA to install Google facilities within NASA to the tune of 1 million square feet worth of office space inside of NASA. See, Google is partnering with big government organizations in a huge way. They are partnering with HMOs and sucking up all of our medical information. They are, I mean, the sky is the limit here. And here's where this becomes truly frightening. When you actually look at the statements being made by Google executives and the brain trust behind this incredibly powerful organization, what you will find is that their ultimate plan, as they put it, is to become the mind of God. They want to become, I mean, talk about the ultimate Garden of Eden temptation here. That, you know, the snake, the serpent, Satan, of course, in the Garden of Eden promised that we would, that we, if we ate that apple, if we disobeyed God, that we would develop the powers of God. Well, what are the powers of God? They're all the powers that humankind is obtaining now through technology. And I believe that this sense of omniscience is Satan's way of saying, hey, you know, I want to have that form of power over the entire globe as well. I want to know, as one executive said in a meeting I attended a couple years back, I want to know every time the consumer takes the lid off the toothpaste in their own bathroom. Now, that may sound wild, but they've got the technology now to do it. And Google is the one who's going to be transmitting that information, because Google wants to be the company in charge of the smart grid. They want to be monitoring your appliances. They want to monitor your smart medicine cabinet. This is actually, Intel and Philips are both working on this. It is a medicine cabinet that would know every time you opened it. It would know who was standing there. It would know what you removed, how many pills, what time you took them. It would log all of this and send it through a smart internet connection that, if these smart grid people have their way, will run the gamut of our entire homes and transmit that information through your electrical wiring, I kid you not, back to Google. You know, you look at this, you can't make this stuff up. If I wrote this as a Hollywood script 10 years ago, I would have been, you know, laughed out of the room. People would not have believed. They would have said, that's too far-fetched. You can't go there. But here we are living in the era where this is actually happening. Now, couple this with another story that crossed my desk today, which has to do with this E-Verify program. This is the program that will require, in order for you to get a job, that you actually have to be approved by the federal government. This is an electronic job database. It's called E-Verify. It is included in the appropriations bill. It's going to be voted on as early as Friday. We need to get in there and tell them to vote against this. What this is it says, let's say I want to hire you to, do some office work for me and do some filing. I will be forbidden by federal law from doing that unless I submit your name, your national ID number, your date of birth, all of your personal information to a federal government database first. And then I have to wait for the federal government to give me permission to hire you. And if I hire you or pay you one red cent without doing that process, then I will be in violation of law. Now, we all know that, at least we Christians know, that there's going to be a time when the getting that government approval is going to hinge on whether or not you're willing to meet those government requirements and jump through those hoops. And for those of us who've read the Bible, those hoops are going to get impossible for Christians to jump through before too long. So you won't be able to do anything.
I certainly share your concern. And the thing is that I think the average individual doesn't want to hear this sort of thing. We want the life to be as it's always been in the past. We want to live the good life. We want to be free. We want to be able to go where we want to and do what we want to. But we don't understand. They have a different agenda. They want to be able to limit what we do. They want to force us to live where they want us to. They want to be able to control the water so people won't be able to live in rural areas. They want to control every aspect of our lives. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Catherine Albrecht. Catherine, what about Ask? There is another similar type of program, similar to Google. It's called Ask. Is that good? And I understand there's a Danish program that's coming in now.
Well, all of the major search engines have one problem in common. They all collect your IP address. Your computer has a unique Internet protocol address. It's kind of like a social security number or a fingerprint that it emits when you go to various websites. So any website that you land on, you will be sharing that IP address with them, and of course they're no slouches. They know that simply by collecting that information, they can keep an ongoing record of what you're doing. So there is only one search engine in the world right now that has been third-party certified not to record your personal information, and it is now in the process of changing its name. It was xquick.com, and it is changing to startpage.com. I'm actually working with them to try to get the word out about Google problems and about their services here in the United States. And I recommended this tagline when I was talking to him. I said, you ought to do something like, start caring about your privacy, use startpage.com. But, you know, maybe that would help it stick in people's heads. But I sat in a meeting a couple of weeks ago with their third-party certifier. They've actually got a European certification authority, and they went through all of their technical specs with me and described exactly how they do it. But when you get to their website, unlike Google and Ask and Yahoo and MSN and all of these other websites that record your information, and not only do they record your IP address, they record everything you search for, so they know, you know, if you look for rash or tacos recipes or whatever it might be, they know that. This start page website, also known as xQuick, they do not record anything. In fact, they have no databases whatsoever of any of the searches or any of the people who made the searches on their website. So it's a great alternative. It is free. It is just as efficient, or about 95% as effective as Google, in my experience. It returns great search results. And the best part of all is you will not be tracked or monitored when you go there. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people shaking their fists at this company, at StartPage, because, you know, there's really a whole industry that has sprung up on capturing this data about people. And now you couple that with Google. If you have any information at all with Google, if you have a Gmail account, if you have a Google Calendar that you might be using or other services that they provide for free, there is a catch to every one of them. Google just announced that it's, as I said, it's partnering up with other websites to plant certain cookies on your browser so that Google will have sort of a master vision from above of all of the other places you go when you're miles away from Google. You may not have gone onto Google for, you know, 6 months.
Hold that thought.
Hold
that thought. We'll be
right
back.
Presence on these other websites.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Catherine is saying that basically they are planting cookies, and I don't understand how this is done, but that way, even if you're not going onto Google, they're going to continue to be able to monitor you. Well, there is something, a new program, it's a European program, that does not keep any records on you, that is not tracking you. Their records would not be available to those people who wanted to monitor everything you've done, and of course that would be something called StartPage. Is that up and running right now here in America?
It is absolutely up and running. They're rebranding. They had a name that was very hard to pronounce and very hard to use, which is xQuick, I-X-Q-U-I-C-K. I've been kind of advising them about their U.S. marketing strategy because I want to see everybody in the U.S. switch from Google and switch over to this company. So I suggested, and they agreed, that StartPage was a much easier name to remember and easier to use. So if you go to startpage.com, just remember, start caring about your privacy, startpage.com, you'll find it looks just like Google. I mean, it's slightly different colors, but it's the same idea. You have a search, field in the middle where you can type the information in and you get back a page of results just like you do when you go onto Google or another search engine. And you can also click to add it to your browser, so it'll be up in the upper right-hand corner of your web browser, and you could just type words right into there at any time and get the search results back. So startpage.com, I have personally certified it. I've gone in there and verified that what they're saying is actually true. They are not storing the information there. They are scrupulous about erasing any information within seconds of receiving it. So they do not know who you are or what you search for. And it's about time that we make this switch, because your HMO is going to be giving your health records to Google, and you're going to have no control over that, no way to stop it. There's a Google van that is driving down every street in the country and taking photographs of the front of every house. For all you know, the front of your house is listed on Google, complete with your street address and information about who lives there. You cannot stop that. They're doing it. There was a lawsuit. A family tried to get those photographs removed from the web. They were unsuccessful. The judge ruled against them and said only an exquisitely sensitive person would mind having their house portrayed on the Internet. So the judge ruled against them, and they're moving forward with that. You cannot stop Google Earth from taking a satellite photograph of your backyard, but you can stop Google from knowing what's inside your head. Now, you know what started me on this, Dr. Stan, was back in September, October, back in the fall, there was this story that Google was working with the Centers for Disease Control. And what they did, this was the last straw for me. This is when I said, I'm never going back to Google. What they did was they flagged certain searches. So if you went online and you went into Google and you searched for thermometer or fever or chest congestion or flu or vomiting, then they would tag those searches. A little red flag would come on, and they would identify your location from the moment you made that search. Who knew, right? I mean, we're just logging on, typing away. We figure nobody's watching. Well, they were logging and monitoring every one of these searches. And everyone that came in, they put a little dot on a map. And they said when they saw multiple dots in one community, oh, well, there must be a flu outbreak in that community. And then they shared that map with the Centers for Disease Control. So I'm looking at that saying, well, that's terrible. Because, and Google was boasting during that period that they know more about American health. They have more information about our health than all of the HMOs combined. That they have more information about our habits overall than all of the other databases combined because of our use of Google. And even though they did not share personally identifiable information with the government about who those people were on that map with those dots, they could have very easily done so, and all it would have taken would have been for the government to request it. Google has had to turn over other records in the past. You know, they get a court order, they get a subpoena, they can't even say no. So it's, I believe, a matter of time before someone is going to say Google is a threat to national security. Listen, they know from their satellites in space, if international police, if international law enforcement is using Google Maps to pinpoint drug smuggling locations, they know when there's troop movements. They know when there's fortifications at particular military installations. They know all of it because they've got the satellites up in space. They know when the American public is concerned about a particular issue. They boast that they have their finger on the pulse of America. They know what we think about, what we worry about. They know how many of us are concerned about guns. They know how many of us are concerned about liberty. They know how many of us are concerned about fluoride in the water. You name your topic. Not only do they know how many people care about it, they can pinpoint what parts of the country they live in, and they can even identify them individually by name and tell you all the other things they searched for and cared about. And what doctors they go to, and how many kids they have. You would be amazed at what they can data mine out of this enormous stream of information. So what I tell people, like everybody else, I'm sure everybody listening has been using Google without thinking about it for years. I certainly had up until about January. I have now pulled out of the system. I do not go to Google anymore. When I see Google, I realize that candy-colored Google logo is designed to deceive us. It is colorful, it's bright, it's friendly, it's all these things. It is a snake. It is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I stay away from it. And I encourage other people, once you're away for about 9 months, Google has a policy that if you don't use Gmail or any of their free services, that after 9 months, so they claim, that they will anonymize your data. Now, they can re-identify it later, but it would take them a lot more effort. So they will anonymize your data after 9 months. That means if you all stop today, what is it, in March, let's do 9 months. So by Christmas time, you would be out of Google system if you stop today. So I'm telling everybody, go to startpage.com. I'm a privacy expert. I can certify. I've been doing this 10 years. They are doing the right thing there, and I'll be the first to let you know if they ever change. But they are over there doing the right thing. They will not monitor you. They will not keep your information in a database. But we have got to pull that Google needle out of our collective arms. We are addicted to this company, and they're taking advantage of us every step of the way.
Well, I think that's fascinating, and I'm so glad we do have an alternative. And once again, that's startpage.com, startpage.com. That's a great name. I'm sure that people will be able to remember it. I think the hardest thing, Catherine, is to get people to understand there really are people who have a different agenda. And, of course, I personally believe that there are spiritual forces that motivate these people. They may not even understand this, but I believe there is a supernatural element to everything that's going on today as we move from a free society into a surveillance society, into, of course, an authoritarian society.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And if you want to talk about that spiritual component to it, when you read the comments of Google's founders, when you read about this notion of unification, this notion of artificial intelligence, this notion of imbuing these computer databases and electronic and technological internet-based systems with consciousness. I'm not kidding you. They want to take this thing that they've created, and it's no surprise that it's called a net around the globe or a web. What is a web? Think about that.
What a spider uses to trap people in, right?
So we have now a web spun by a predator around our globe. We have a net spanning the globe in which we have become trapped. So we are trapped in the web, we are trapped in the net, and ultimately Google, which is going to become the dominant player overall of all of this information, that company, its founders are extremely clear. I'll tell you, you want to pray for somebody, they need prayer, because they are very clear that their ultimate goal is for this entity that they are creating to become conscious, to actually have consciousness and to meld with our minds. I'm not kidding you. When you read this, and your jaw hangs open reading them talking about this, how they want to be intimately connected with our minds, potentially even as an implant, potentially even as a form of sort of universal consciousness that we will upload our consciousness into. I mean, this gets way out there. And, you know, people accuse Christians of being, you know, far-fetched in talking about spiritual issues. You take a look at how some of these technologists are talking. And I'm telling you, spiritual components, spiritual overtones beyond anything that I've ever seen any Christian talking about.
Well, let's go to JC, who's calling from California. We have a few more minutes, so if you're out there across America listening, you'd like to talk to Catherine, you have a question for her. Not a dissertation, but a question. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, JC. How are you? What part of California are you from?
Pleasant Hill.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
A question. Dr. Albrecht, I heard her recommend Ixquic a while back, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, now it's called Start Page, but go ahead.
Oh, it's the same thing?
The same thing, yeah. Ixquic was so hard for people to spell and remember, and I got so much email, what is Ixquic, that they own the domain startpage.com. If you type in startpage.com, it'll take you right to the same old Ixquic page. But they're going to redesign it with the new Start Page logo. But they are one and the same, and I've been calling it sort of Start Page powered by Ixquic. So you're on the right track. You've already found the right search engine there.
I've been using Ixquic ever since I heard you talk about it.
All right,
well, thank
fine.
You. And please
thank
help
you.
Us spread the word, because we need to get the whole freedom-loving community out of Google's tentacles and into some free space here.
I have, and I will continue to do so. Thank you,
and
very much.
Are you listening to us on shortwave or the Internet?
Internet.
All right. God bless. And we'll get all those other people up there in Pleasant listening, too.
Oh,
thanks
will.
So much. God bless. All right. Let's go to Russell, who's calling, I guess, from Wisconsin. Hi, Russell. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I just got a notification from my Internet provider that that my email service through them is going to be powered by Google. And
why don't you change your internet provider then? And let them know why.
I don't know.
You may not have a choice. Do you know, get this, when you have a Gmail account or if you allow Google to control your email, they have a program. It's a computer program that reads every email you receive and every email that you send, and it looks for keywords so that they can serve you advertisements. So, for example, let's say you send a friend an email to a friend and you say, I'm going on vacation to Florida. Then Google will have a machine automatically read your email. It will see the word vacation and the word Florida. And then amazingly enough, you'll be on some other website, like, you know, 3 days later, and you'll start seeing ads for Florida vacation property or ads for hotel discounts in Florida or ads for airfare to Florida. And you're like, how in the world do these guys know that I have any interest in Florida as a vacation destination? And then you come to learn that it's because Google actually reads your email.
Okay, as far as email accounts, are you aware of any email accounts, email providers that I could use as an alternative?
Well, you know, that's the problem that we're getting into. One of the things that I'm working with the folks at ixquick/startpage on is the idea of actually putting together some email equivalent to what they're doing with search, where you can rest assured that your email is also safe and not being scanned or reviewed in that way and not being stored. Right now, the problem is unless you have a server-based email, which, you know, unless you're an IT specialist and have special computer skills, you're not going to be able to set that up. There really aren't a lot of good email services out there. There's one that I was going to look into. I can't vouch for it because I haven't fully looked at it, but it was called Privacy Harbor or Private Harbor. And I only know it because somebody sent me an email, and in order for me to read it, I had to log on to the Private Harbor or PrivacyHarbor.com website and type in a little something that appeared in a box. And I glanced at it briefly. I've been super busy. I glanced at it, and it said, you know, the world's most, you know, the world's first private email or something like that. I don't know if you have to pay for it. I don't know anything about them. But if there's one out there, there's probably several. So there may actually be. I would just do a search for private email. Do an ixquick or a start page search. Don't search through Google for that. But yeah, go online, do a search, and see if you can find some services because I believe they're out there. And you know, I got to tell you, Dr. Stan, that's the other thing we've got to really watch is we've been using Google as a verb. You know, go online and Google this or Google that. Oh yeah, I Googled this or that. We've got to really pull that word out of our vocabulary and you know, kind of slap ourselves every time we find ourselves using the word Google as a verb. And instead say, you know, I did a search for, or I, you know, heck, I went on to start page and start paged, paged the word or whatever. But even for me now, I've been Google free for 3 months, almost 4 months now. And I still find myself saying, well, you know, go online and Google the word blah, blah, blah. And then I got to kick myself. No, don't Google it. Whatever you do, you know, go to ixquick.com or startpage.com and do it that way.
Oh, Russell, you keep listening. Catherine will be with us next month, and she'll have more information. Second Tuesday, I guess it's. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much for calling. And let's go to Leah in Santa Cruz. Hi, Leah. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I had two questions. One is, do you know anything about GoodSearch.com? I know that they give 1 cent to your charitable place. We use our school, but is that a... is that a good search engine, good search?
You know, I'm not familiar with it, so I cannot speak to it. What I do know, and I got on kind of this kick because it was actually Coast to Coast AM that asked me to find an alternative to Google when these stories were breaking. And so I did quite a bit of research, and I looked around, and the only one that I found that does not collect your information, that doesn't make a record of what you search for, was at that time ixquick, now Startpage. That was the only one I could find. All the other ones either did record that, and believe me, if they don't tell you that they're not, then they are, because there's a lot of money to be made by doing
that. Yeah, they must be. I mean, how are they giving me, you know, a penny towards the...
Yeah, where's that money coming from unless you know, they're able to take your information and that's valuable to them in some way. So I see right here. It says powered by Yahoo Search. I'm on GoodSearch.com, powered by Yahoo Search. Yahoo is the second worst after Google in terms of collecting all of your information. So every single time you go on GoodSearch.com, they grab your IP address so they know who you are, and they add that search term to all of your previous searches, so they've got a big long list of everything you've ever looked for.
And
the one that's on your page that, you know, way up at the top on the right-hand corner, you just type in something and you press, you know, search. That's an automatic Google, right?
Yes, and that is in your browser. If you go to startpage.com,
I tried to change it, and
take
I
it
couldn't.
Quick, you'll see right there, there's a link that says add it to your browser,
right,
and it will replace that one with the good one.
Okay.
You'll actually delete the Google one and replace it with the start page one, so you'll be able to just type
that
in that corner and go to the right one.
What was that you press again then on your browser?
Yeah, when you go to startpage.com or ixquick.com, because they're the same.
Oh, you have to be on it
first. Exactly what it says.
Oh, okay.
It says add ixquick to your browser. It's right there on in the center box.
Okay.
And when you click that, what it'll do is automatically change that box in the upper right-hand corner of your browser with an ixquick box.
Okay,
and go ahead, and it does it by itself.
X and then Q-I-C-K?
Yeah, or start page. We'll get
or start page.
That's
okay.
Easier to spell.
And then I had one other question, because as far as I know, no one in my household has done any searching on the Internet for things that are inappropriate. And now I'm getting email after email of, and I never open them up, but they're like, you know, see Joe Betty in the, you know, titties
and sometimes it happens and you just accidentally land on one of those pages. You know,
what was that?
And the best thing to do is just keep deleting them, and eventually they'll give up.
Okay, Leah, we're going to have to let
you
go.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jenny in New York. Jenny, do you have a quick question for us?
Yes, this is just a quick call regarding cataract surgery. The plastic that you to put in the eye, has there ever been a concern about ID stuff or chips in that?
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to hear the question, Dr. Stan.
Hang on there.
Oh, no.
Okay, Jenny, what was your question?
I'm sorry. Yes, it's regarding the little plastic pieces they put in people's eyes who are having cataract surgery. And, you know, they are plastic and just didn't know if they're safe or there's a concern about ID chips and chips, I guess, in them.
No, I think you're safe there. The thing about ID chips, we're talking about implants here, RFID implants that can be put into people. In order to be useful to anyone, they'd have to be pretty big. And by big, I mean about the size of a wristwatch, maybe, without the band, in order to have any kind of tracking capability. So anything that would be small enough to put into an eye or into a vaccine or even into an injectable microchip, that could be injected rather than, you know, needing major surgery to put it in. Anything like that is not going to have the capability of really doing much to you. You can't track it from more than about a foot away, so it
wouldn't be
useful as a GPS tracking device.
So I think in that sense,
you're totally safe. The technology is not yet there to do it. 20 years from now, yes, but today, no, you're safe.
All right, anything else, Jenny?
Thank you.
God bless. And let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a quick question for our guest?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about character string verification. I think your guest probably knows what that is, correct?
No. And
when
hi, Mike.
When I go to send an email,
I don't know that term.
Yeah, when I go to send an email, different places it'll come up where you have to type in the characters that they show you in a box.
Okay.
Yeah. I get a high frequency of this when sending emails that contain words that the government might deem subversive, like 911 topics. it'll make me type in the character string every time, almost. It really gets laborious and slows me down.
Do you have to type those in from your email program or on websites, or where are you needing to type that?
Well, in my Yahoo email, for one, but sometimes you see it on different websites when you want to access something, and so they're giving you letters and numbers that you but they're not in a form that can be recognized by a computer, so another computer would get blocked. It's a security thing they claim, but I've noticed the high frequency of occurrence where I have to go through this little exercise if my text or anything in an email has something, like I was saying, that might be deemed subversive.
I suggest you go to a start page and get away from it. Anyway, thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah, and my advice on that would be that certain terms, like Viagra, for example, it just trigger the spam filters. So they may be seeing those terms as potentially spam. That's probably why you're seeing that.
Hey, well, thank you so very much for being with us, Catherine. We're out of time, but I appreciate you being with us and look forward to talking to you next month.
Well, thank you, and switch to start page, everybody. Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Catherine Albrecht, and certainly we hope Catherine will be back with her on a regular basis once a month and keep our listeners up to pace on what's really going on, because we are moving into a surveillance society. Let me suggest, if you have not yet heard my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that, which gives you all the documentation for the concentration camps, and then, of course, the material we have on the concentration camps, the DVD, the four-tape set. It's important that you have it. Of course, come if you get the concentration camp special, why you'll get videos of actually the recordings of some of the congressional hearings, where at least one congressman tried to bring this out, Congressman Jack Brooks, about the plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and start rounding people up. And, of course, Senator Inouye keeps interrupting over and over again. The last thing they want is for the American people to understand that there is a plan. there really are people who plan a dictatorship in America. And there are a lot of people who are very upset. It's going to be interesting whether, Chris, that President Obama will go along with George Bush's repudiation of the Posse Comitatus, saying, I'm the president, and I want to use the military against the American people. I have the right to do it, after all. They elected me. Well, I hope the President Obama doesn't take that attitude. It's going to be very interesting. Apparently, he's going to be going over all of President Bush's signing statements. And when, of course, Congress reaffirmed their belief in Posse Comitatus, which said that you could not use American military forces against American citizens, President Bush signed the bill, but put on a signing statement, said, I will not abide by it. Why would he do that? Because, of course, this President Bush came from a secret society where they actually swear their allegiance to Lucifer. If you doubt that, if you doubt that's what the Skull and Bones is all about, you need to get our 4-tape set on Skull and Bones. But you can also go to WilliamHKennedy.com. Go to the website. You'll actually see the video shots of the initiation ceremony that somebody risked their life to get, where some of the most powerful men in our country are swearing their allegiance to Lucifer. But you need also to get the information at the Bohemian Grove. We have a 4-tape set. We actually have a carry of Alex Jones' excellent DVD on the Bohemian Grove. We have, of course, the DVD on the Bilderbergers, Alex Schott. It's called Endgame. Then we have a 4-tape set on it, a couple of books about the Bilderbergers. You have to understand there really are organizations out there that worship a different god. Our telephone number is 1-888-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me encourage you to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me encourage you to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret, which takes you into the secret Oprah Winfrey keeps pushing. Oprah keeps telling people how wonderful Rhonda Burns is, her book on the secret, and we're talking about the same secret, only Oprah thinks it's wonderful, and Rhonda Burns thinks it's wonderful, and millions of people think it's wonderful, without realizing that there is a force out there, and you can get in touch with it, but of course, it is the force of the prince of this world, and there is supernatural power and great wealth. And if you don't believe it, you need to see the DVDs we have. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of many of our leading musicians who made a pact with the devil. And many of the people at key positions in our government have done the same thing. If you get anything we're offering, let me suggest you ask for the pamphlet on the spiritual hierarchy. It's put out by an organization that at one time is a descendant of the Lucifer Trust, and you go to their website, just type in, well, go to start page and go to type in Lucifer Trust and Lucifer, Lucius Trust and Lucifer, and see what they have to say about themselves, Lucius Trust and Lucifer, and then go to the other article that's linked there that talks to you about how Lucifer really is getting really sort of a bad rap. He really wasn't such a good guy. He really came to Earth to help us. Well, could pray for America. Go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Read our newsletters. Get other people listening. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. President Obama's acknowledging it's an imperfect bill, but he's going ahead and signing it anyway. It's a $410 billion bill funding federal agencies through the fall, but it contains billions in earmarks. Obama says the bill is necessary but should signal an end to the old way of doing business. The Securities and Exchange Commission is thinking about reinstating a rule that limits the short selling of stock. Here's correspondent Jerry Boatlander.
Less than 2 years ago, the SEC eliminated the so-called uptick rule, which had been in place since the late 1930s and aimed to protect stocks from a wave of short selling. But SEC Chairman Mary Schapiro says she's looking to bring it back.
The world has changed rather dramatically in the past year.
One lawmaker wants Congress to order the SEC to reinstate the rule, saying it is essential to rein in abuses and restore much-needed stability and confidence to financial markets.
This is IRN USA Radio News.
How's your money?
What's it do you?
Is it safe?
Who wants to know?
Can you even keep what you've got?
You're a pretty nosy smart piece, ain't you?
Have you got enough money?
Yeah, right.
Thought-provoking questions, aren't they? But we need the answers, and we need them fast. You can find those answers by reading The New Economic Disorder by economist Larry Bates. Dr. Bates explains in no uncertain terms how government and financial insiders are controlling your money, working to make all of us equal, equally poor. The New Economic Disorder is a startling exposé of the coming financial wipeout. Its frank everyday language is easy to understand and will change the way you look at investments, even the way you look at money. This bestseller explains how to be on the receiving end of the upcoming inevitable transfer of wealth. Your copy of The New Economic Disorder is waiting for you now for only $9.95 by calling 1-800-336-7000. That's 1-800-336-7000. Better hurry, though. The midnight hour is fast approaching.
He ain't kidding.
More than 200 rounds were fired by Alabama shooter Michael McClendon in his deadly rampage yesterday that left at least 10 people dead and 4 injured. Officers say McClendon was armed with 2 assault weapons with large capacity magazines and another firearm. The day of bloodshed ended in a shootout with police at a company where McClendon had once worked.
McClendon exchanged fire with a Geneva County deputy and a state conservation officer before entering the Reliable Products building. Within minutes, gunshots were heard, and McClendon was discovered dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy says the time has come for France to rejoin NATO's military command that it quit 43 years ago. Sarkozy says France's independence won't...